Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writer's Book Club.
Hey, we have a Blondie and the Brit Awards going on right now. I'd like you to go over to my blog and vote. Please go to kjwaters.blogspot.com and cast your votes.
Welcome to Blondie and the Brit. Today on the program, we have Haley from Buffer. Haley focuses on all things press-related at Buffer. Originally from Canada, she's also lived in Germany, Colombia, and the U.S., and will kick your butt at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Buffer is a social media sharing platform that can be used on the computer or mobile, and they describe themselves as the best way to drive traffic, increase fan engagement, and the easiest way to save time on social media. Welcome, Haley.
Thank you so much, KJ. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you. Okay, so we have a whole bunch of questions for you about Buffer. Why don't we start, just for the people out there that don't know what Buffer is, give us a broad overview of what this is.
Yeah, for sure. So Buffer is a super simple way to share on social media. So essentially, you have a Buffer dashboard when you sign up, and anything that you might want to send out on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, now Instagram just launched recently, you can put it in Buffer and have it send out automatically for you. So you don't have to be sitting around on Twitter and on Facebook and physically hitting send. Once a week, you could go in and schedule all of your posts for the week and they would automatically go out for you and you can focus on engagement and real-time interaction.
Which is amazing. And the cool thing that I've used it for is I have it on my phone. So like I'm waiting at the grocery store, like in between times, I can go back and see what's going out and maybe rebuffer things that I did previously. It also has an analytics tool. So I see which ones have done really well and then I'll resend those out. So it's so simple. She's right about that. Okay, so tell us a little bit about what you particular do at Buffer.
Yeah, well, I was brought on to do all of our PR, and that has been so much fun. As anyone knows who's worked at a startup before, it always evolves from there. There's lots of hats that need to be worn. So I would say that I work in a broader communication space now. So any incoming requests for speaking engagements, I also work with our syndication partners and to do our PR as well. And then I'm trying to think, there are so many little things that I do.
Yeah, I was part of a startup as well, and you pretty much do whatever you need to. Everything and anything that they ask you to, but
anything that needs to be done. We're a really small marketing team. We move really quickly. So I've been having a lot of fun helping out with product launches a little bit more recently. So that's been a great experience.
So like the Instagram, you were part of that one?
Yes, I was.
Good. Good, good, good. Well, that is really exciting. Okay, so you gave us like a big picture view. Give us a little bit more in depth for our listeners.
Yeah, for sure. So when you log into Buffer, there's a space for your content. There's another tab for analytics and there's another tab for schedule. So the way that it works is you go into schedule and you pick the times every week that you want your posts to go out. So you don't have to schedule every post for a specific time. I can say, you know what, I want to post to Twitter 3 times a day, rather, on Monday through Friday. Maybe I don't want to post on Twitter on the weekends. I'll set those times. And from then on, when I add something to my Buffer queue, it automatically goes in the next available spot, whether that's the first spot of the day that I have it set for, the second or the third. And so my process in the past has always been, sometimes I'll write a bunch of content up in advance and then I'll put it all in at once. And it's probably my favorite feature. You can hit shuffle for your content too. So if you add in a bunch of things, like I've added in a lot of blog posts from the Buffer blog before and I don't want them all to go out at once. So I'll hit shuffle so there is kind of a space between them. And then another thing that you can do is go through your analytics and organize your posts by most popular, whether that's most retweeted or most liked, let's say with most liked for the past 90 days. And then you can rebuffer those top performing tweets. You can change the copy a little bit. So that's something that I do really frequently as well. And yet for the schedule, I think you mentioned this, KJ. So we have an optimal timing tool. So once you've used Buffer a couple of times and we get a feel for your audience, you can go into the optimal timing tool. It's free for every account level. It's under the schedule tab and click on it and we'll analyze one of your Twitter accounts and let you know what time your audience is online. So what times you should be posting And usually it's if your audience is online at noon, you should be posting at 11:58, kind of like get there before they get there.
Oh, good. Yeah. So yeah, that was really useful for me because I mean, I have 18,000 people on Twitter. How the heck would I know when they're on? Are they US? Are they elsewhere? What time zone was the most? And not only who, but who's the most interactive on there? So
exactly. Great. Yeah, the time zone thing actually was really interesting to me because I remember doing this for Facebook once and getting some really funky times. And I was like, well, thank goodness I'm not going to have to be up at 3 a.m. to send this out.
That's true. Yeah, right. And that's another thing. Like Suzanne has a lot of people in the UK that she's friends with and fans and all that kind of stuff. And to be able to post while she's in bed, she's in Seattle. So to have a tool that takes care of the time zone issues for you so you can still reach your audience. And then later you have to engage them. You can't just push the content. You have to thank people and have conversations and all that kind of stuff. But Buffer takes the stress out of having to schedule all that so that you can just be your social bunny self and enjoy, you know, the fun part of it, which is talking to the people and interacting. So.
Super well said. Yeah, I think the main thing about Buffer is just to save you that time spent sending things out at the right time or spacing them out properly. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. And you can just focus on your audience and focus on being there for the conversations that matter real time.
Perfect.
I have a quick question. Is there an amount that you can do in? I know that Hootsuite have a particular amount you can do per month. Do you have a limit of how many posts you can actually put up?
So we don't do per month. We do how many you can have in your queue at one time.
Okay.
So if you have a free account, and I got away with a free Buffer account for a very long time, and then I would go one up, and then I would go back down, depending on what I was doing.
We all do that.
If you have a free account, if you have a free account, you can do 10 scheduled posts per profile. So 10 on Twitter, 10 on Facebook. For some people, that's not quite enough. If you jump up to Awesome, it's 200. So it's 200 posts per profile. And that one, I feel like that one's only $10 a month, and that one works for most people that I know. Bloggers, writers, a lot of marketers. Personally, that's my favorite plan when I was managing a couple of different clients at once, too.
So when you say per profile, you mean you could do Instagram, Facebook, that you mean per that or per person sort of thing?
Absolutely, yep. And then Pinterest becomes available when you're on the Awesome plan as well. So Pinterest isn't available on the free plan, but in the Awesome plan. So you could do 200 pins as well, Google
right.
Plus, LinkedIn.
Yeah. Google Plus, too. See, that's what I haven't used Buffer as much, but I did have the Awesome plan for quite a while, and it was so nice to be able to, like, as long as the queue was filled up, I was happy. So when it would, you know, I'd give it a day or two to put all those posts out, then I would go back and then just add some more and keep that going.
And for Google Plus, you're right, that's so important. Here's the thing that we've said before, if you haven't heard this before, is that to our audience, is that you need to be posting at least once a week, twice a week on Google Plus, even if you're not getting a response, because it ups your SEO rating. So that is a really important one. So thanks for doing that. Hayley, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah,
that one, I think we've called it before, Google loves Google. So Google search loves Google.
Google loves Google.
Oh, I need a meme for that. I could just picture what that would be. That's so cute. Google loves Google. Well, it's true, though. And
it's true.
There's a group I work with. I'm not going to say their name because I'm about to say something that they're not doing right. They do not put on Google. They do not post on Google Plus. And I can tell that because when I do a Google search for them, I can't find them. They're way down. And it makes me kind of sad for them because they're missing a huge opportunity. All they need to do is put a couple of those out there. And then as soon as I look for them, they're there. They're not lost in the shuffle. So it really is important to get onto
Exactly.
Google.
Yeah. I've always told small businesses that Google Plus is probably their most powerful free tool. Because when you search for a small business on Google, if they have an active Google Plus account, if they set it up properly, it will pop up on the right-hand side of your Google, if you're searching web, on the right-hand side of your Google search. In this enormous colorful box. And it's like people would pay millions to advertise
right there.
And they're giving it to you for free because you use Google Plus.
Wow. See, that is something I never even thought of. And it doesn't cost you anything but to set up the account. And if you've got a Gmail account, you've already got it set up. Essentially.
Yeah, they've probably forced you to set one up already.
Well, they make one for you. You don't have to use it, but it's there. So you might as well take advantage of that.
Yeah, for small businesses, like anyone who's location-based, it's kind of more about setting up, like inputting your exact location and making sure that Google knows that.
Right.
Use a typical writer as an example, because most of our audience are authors or writers. How would you use like Buffer to promote your brand?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. So, I mean, Buffer makes it really easy to connect with your audience on social. So the first thing that I would say to a writer is figure out where your audience is. And do not tell me that they're on every social network because that's totally cheating. And no one has time for that. No one has time to do every single network, even with Buffer. So pick maybe two, maybe three networks and rock at those networks, but figure out where your audience is and which networks they're on. So from there, you can create custom content for those networks. The things that you would put out on Twitter are completely different from the things you would put out from Instagram. And then you have to come up with a ratio. So the one ratio that we really like at Buffer that we've talked about a couple of times is the 4-1-1 rule. And I believe this was originally on the HubSpot blog because we love all of their content. And the 4-1-1 rule is for every 4 educational and entertaining posts that you put out, you can put out 1 soft sell and 1 hard sell.
Same kind of thing,
8 to 2, but I didn't know about the hard and soft sell. That's good.
Yeah, tell us the difference. Yeah. Hard and soft sell.
Yeah.
Well, I think a hard sell is like download this now or this is happening now, kind of like really trying to get someone to click immediately and buy immediately. Whereas a soft sell is a little bit more. And I might totally be butchering this, so I'm so sorry. But the way that I picture it is a soft sell is a little bit more leaning in towards the buying. So it links back, you mention your brand, but it's not purely educational or entertaining. You know, there is the point of a sell in there, but not as hard as kind of like, you know, $15 this week only.
Right. So for me, I'm hoping that I'm understanding this, a hard sell would be, here's my book, it's on sale this week, click to Amazon, go buy it. A soft sell would be, hey, our podcast this week is, which is also my brand, but it's not me selling my book, which is what I'm trying to do. Is that what you mean by that?
I think that that's a really good example. And then the other 4 posts that you could put out, you know, would be a little bit different. Maybe your audience really likes inspiration. So maybe you're going to do some hashtag Monday motivation or some throwback Thursdays, like, you know, that kind of like just connecting with your audience type post.
Yeah, that's that. Do you have good hashtags that you recommend? I like Monday motivation. What else do you know?
I think it's Motivation Monday. It might be Monday motivation. I always confuse them. So I think Motivation Monday, we consistently get a ton of engagement on Motivation Monday, which is kind of a really funny one. I always liked, personally, I use Travel Tuesday is a favorite of mine.
Ooh, I like that.
Travel Tuesday, yeah, it's good for anyone that has anything to do with travel. And I was helping out a travel Twitter account at one point, and Travel Tuesday always got great. And then, you know, classic hashtag TBT, throwback for Throwback Thursday, is always a really good one. And then I think you can kind of make up your own too. You know, I know that Google Plus for a while, since we've chatted Google Plus a little bit, they would create the craziest ones and it would kind of always be different. So Saturday is hashtag Catter Day, if anyone didn't know that. And then I know on Google Plus, I always saw that Wednesdays was hashtag Waterfall Wednesdays.
Huh. And what does that mean? Just a waterfall picture or?
It's just been a waterfall picture. Yeah, I was always jumping on it though because I was like, this is great. These are beautiful pictures.
Wow. So we use Writers Wednesday, I think, for Writers Wednesday.
I like that. There's also Wine Wednesday, all of our favorite things in one
Wine
day.
Wine Wednesday. Oh, there you go. See, Wine Wednesday is where I am right now. still the Wine Wednesday.
It's Thursday, Susan.
We're still on Wine Wednesday.
Yes, it continues. Depends how much Wine Wednesday you've had. It may
continue. It still depends where you are in the world, right? Is it Wednesday anywhere still? I don't think so.
I think it's Friday in some places. I have one of my colleagues in Singapore, and I'm always like, happy weekend! And I don't know if it's too soon or too late.
Yeah, we interviewed Luke Romains, an author in Australia, and the way we had to interview him was like 1 a.m. his time on the next day. So we interviewed him Thursday at 11, and it was Friday morning. No, it was Friday at 1. It was Saturday morning, wasn't it, Suzanne?
Yeah, it was early in the morning.
Something like that. It was like, it's so strange, this time travel.
Whenever I talk to people in funny time zones that they're way off in the future, I'm like, how's the future? What's happening?
Something I need to know.
Can you let me know?
Lottery numbers. Come on, friends.
That's hilarious. Suzanne, I have to do this. I think Haley is our Google Plus expert. Can we pick her brain about Google Plus?
We found someone from Google Plus.
Yeah.
We haven't met anybody over there. We call it Google Plus the ghost town. You know, we don't know
anybody. It's so funny because the running joke is that the only people that you meet on Google Plus are Google employees because they're all trying to make it work. So they're all on Google all the time. I can remember once being in a Google Plus circle and scrolling through the posts.
Google Plus circle?
Yeah, and it's like the circles that they have. And then I was going through the posts and I'm looking, and one of my like closest friends, her post shows up, and I messaged her. I was like, do you use Google Plus? She was like, yeah, I do. And I was like, oh my gosh, I do too. And it was like this moment, like when we found each other in Google Plus. And we were both so excited because no one else is on there.
Oh my gosh. See, Suzanne, it isn't just us. We have truth from an expert. So I guess Google Plus's main use, and tell me if I'm wrong, is mostly the Google Analytics.
I think for SEO reasons for Google Analytics, that's what Google Plus is great for. There are a couple of groups, and I think that they're called Circles, but I haven't used Google Plus in a little while now. I want to say they're called Circles. I'm like going in there right now to try and check it out, that are very active. And so, oh, the communities that they have. So there are certain communities that are very active. So if Google Plus is your jam, go in and check out communities and see if there's a community that happens to be on the topic that you're writing about. Maybe it's the perfect place for you to go. I feel like not a lot of people are in there marketing. So if you want to jump in there and take it for yourself, then go for it.
That's a great idea. So like instead of going into a writer community, go into science fiction world or something if you write sci-fi or romance so that you're finding the readers.
Yeah, I'm going in right now. So I see beauty has quite a few posts. Bodybuilding is really big. Fashion, Google Art Project.
How are you checking that? Are you just putting hashtag in or something? Or
no, I went to Google Plus and then on the side there's a home button and I scroll down to communities. And when I look at communities, you can join these different communities and they all look really nicely curated. There's like an NFL one, Tiny House Living. I might join that one.
Cool.
Okay. See, good Google Plus tips. High five, Suzanne. We finally did it.
We found somebody who's in there. Woohoo!
I'm adding both of you after this.
Yes. Yay! Do that.
That'll take me up with the double figures.
That's hilarious.
Okay. So, back to Buffer a little bit, because you are here to talk about Buffer. So blow our mind. I love the fact that KJ wrote these, which I love because she's so dramatic. Blow our mind with some of the advanced tactics Buffer has to offer.
Some of the advanced tactics.
Like you were saying, about that you've got the sort of simple plan, and then you've got other things that you can do if you pay more, right? So
yeah, when you go up into the awesome plan level, a lot of things are available. All right, so let's see. I just talked about this one yesterday, and it's quite exciting. And so the idea is you can export through your analytics all of your most popular posts for the last 90 days. You can export them into a spreadsheet. Go into that spreadsheet and edit them. And then upload them again. And you just have, I don't know how many posts you've posted in the past 90 days. All content, you can hit shuffle, edit your content. All of your most popular posts are now going out again. And that is most useful for Twitter, where the life cycle, like the lifetime of a tweet is very short, even with the button. Or the section that they have where they say what you missed. Even with that section, the lifetime of a tweet is still very short. So we tweet the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
And you hit different. And so if you're doing that on Twitter, I think the bulk exporting and importing is the way to go.
Wow.
Personally, something that I also really like, so it's still in beta, but I'm quite excited about it, is our content library. So I put all of my blog posts in this content library, the blog posts that I've written, and I can repeat them now. And so it will tell me, okay, last time you posted this was 3 months ago, so clearly it's time for me to post it again.
Cool.
And I can repeat it, and then it's always saved in my Buffer library, and I can repeat it for, I want it to send out this week and then again next week. So I think that would work really well for writers that are trying to promote a book or something like something else that they're doing, an event maybe that they're going to, but they don't want to post about it all the time. So that's a really big one. And then probably the third one that I think a lot of organizations are excited about this, and I'm not sure. We'll see if writers are excited about this. Let me know. But you can have someone, you can add someone to your account to help contribute posts. And then you can review those posts and send them out. So if you hired someone, or if there's someone else that wants to contribute posts to your account, they can write them and send them to you, say for your LinkedIn account or your Twitter account, you can review them and then send them out. So our social media manager at Buffer, for example, he will write all of us different tweets promoting Buffer blog posts and send them to our personal accounts because we've added him as a contributor, and then we can approve them or delete them if we don't like them and add them to our queue.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, see, I love this. So we just had this issue, haven't we, Katie? Yeah. Trying to, we have somebody working for us, who's just started working for us, and he's doing a fabulous job, but it's like, how do we get him to be able to do stuff, And to have somebody, that is wonderful that you've added that to your service. That's wonderful.
Well, I was thinking, too, Suzanne, I mean, you and I cross-promote as well. You
all promote the myself. Time,
so to have a way that, like, here's the three tweets I need you to put in your Buffer this week. And, you know, to share it like that would be so easy. I love the content, the library thing, too, because...
I do, too.
I have...
Because you have to wear that out myself all the time.
Yeah.
To have somebody do it for me would be wonderful.
Well, just think about the two uses right now. I have, I don't know, 50 different blog posts I've done over the past whatever years. I have... all, you know, 48 podcasts that we've done. So to be able to put them in there and then just have it like, Suzanne, you and I were doing this with the podcast, rotate through those without having to like go find which one's the next one and how, you know, whatever. It can help us do that. That to me is mind-blowingly helpful because you're trying to fill in your content, right? And the quickest way to do that is to have it already set up right there. You just grab it. That's huge.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that these are helpful. And I think one of the other ones, if you go under content, the tab is queues. That's what's lined up for review, which is what people have sent to you. And right next to it, before library, is content inbox. So if you have a blog, and I think this one's relevant for writers too, and you're sending out regular blog posts, maybe you can add your own RSS feed and it will automatically add that to your content inbox. And you can choose to add or dismiss each post. So I've added the Buffer blog and like Copy Blogger, a couple of great Marie Forleo, just like marketing sites that I read frequently, and it'll give me the headline and the link. I can click to edit it, add a photo, whatever, and then add it to my queue.
Wow.
And so if anyone who has a blog or an RSS feed that they're following very easily can add that. So I'm wondering if that might work for podcasts too, if that's a feed.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an RSS, I think. I mean,
for the audience, people may not be familiar with that term, what an RSS is. Some people don't always know what that means.
Yeah, I don't even know if I know what it stands for. But the idea is that when you have an RSS feed, it's a link that specifically points to all of the posts that have been published. So when you import that feed into Buffer, it will show you all the posts as they get published to a specific website. So you could do RSS feed for, I mean, Huffington Post if you wanted, a lot of posts come out at once, or your personal blog post.
Or like I'm thinking Rachel Thompson is someone we've interviewed on here, really big on book marketing, to have her blogs come through there. So, because I share her content all the time, just to have it automatically is one of the things I can choose from. I don't like that
exactly.
Topic, skip it, but to have the option of that.
So it's like bookmarking that person rather than just a page. So every time that person puts that content, you get notification or you can get to that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
exactly. So
yeah.
The content library is your own content that you've put in that you want to repeat. The content inbox is things from elsewhere in the internet sphere that you're importing to Buffer. And then for review is people that you've added as contributors that are contributing to your post. So you have a lot of different options for getting content into your Buffer queue.
Okay, so what level is this? How much per month is this? Because I'm like, let me go buy that right now.
I can tell that KJ's drooling on the other end.
I'm drooling.
I want all of this. How much is it?
I want it.
I believe that this is all available for the Awesome Plan at $10 a month. Let me check in on, so the library is still beta, so we may have only released it to businesses for now. But let me check in on that, and if I can get back to you, that would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's coming is the thing, and the podcast won't air for a couple weeks anyway, so just tell us if it's true by September.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
I will let you know. And if not, then it's a small business plan, and those ones are $99 a month. So those ones are quite a bit more because the idea is that, you know, you'd have 25 social profiles and team members that you're connecting. So it's for much larger teams. They have 2,000 posts that they can have scheduled at one time, which is just a really large amount of posts.
Right. But if you've got 25 different profiles.
Exactly. It makes a little bit more sense.
Very cool.
I love the fact you're making it easier. Yeah. Somehow you guys have figured out what the problem is for us, and you're making it easier for us to figure that out rather than, you know, because that is all the things that you've said are all the things that take our time.
Yeah.
You know, figuring out blog posts, RSS feeds, all these things are the things that we like, you spend hours doing, you know?
Yeah, for sure. No, I think that's what, you know, one of the reasons that I love Buffer is because it's so simple and it's just everything that I need to go into social media happening at once. And I know that this might be helpful for writers as well. We're not all designers, but we like to have photos with our posts, right? And so it's nice to have custom photos, maybe like a quote about something in your post.
Right.
We have a whole other product called pablo.buffer.com. It's called Pablo. And you can create super simple images that are custom to fit different social networks, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. right there. And you can add them to your buffer queue as well. So if you have a blog post going out and you want to add the headline to this photo super quickly, and we have all the photos on the left-hand side, you have the photos that we've partnered with Unsplash for some of these, and a lot of them are just royalty-free. And then you just edit it and save it and add it to your buffer. So very easy way to make all of your tweets look and posts look a little bit more refined.
Suzanne, she's reading our questions because that was our next question.
So you must have seen that because KJ loves it. Do you want to talk about what you love about it, KJ?
I'm madly in love with Pablo. I have several. I also do some consulting, and a couple of my clients are like, "How do you make a custom picture?" You know, people out there have these beautiful things of their books and everything. It is so easy. I upload, you can either use the pictures that Buffer has, or I can upload my book covers or whatever quote I like, and then you can add a quote to it. So, you know, my book cover can be faded into the background. There's different choices for how you have the image show up. It takes me like, I don't know, less than a minute to create really high quality content, visual content to share. So Instagram, Pinterest, adding, you know, clicks to Twitter, is images are crucially important. And same with Facebook. So to have kind of every once in a while, I'll go in there and make two or three of them, you know, a little library of new stuff to share. And it's so easy. Then you can download it and save it on your computer and add it in, or you can share it right there from the window. So great product. I absolutely love that. Now, do you own this, Pablo, or is this a company that you've partnered with?
No, Pablo is owned by Buffer, and it's kind of a funny story where our CEO, Joel, quickly started putting together Pablo as like a very MVP, very minimal viable product. Let's see if this is something people need. And it accidentally got hunted on Product Hunt. People found it and it just went crazy online. And we were like, oh, okay, I guess people like this. And we had to start, I know they had to start building it super quickly because of that. So it's taken off since there. We get a lot of great feedback on Pablo all the time. It's so wonderful to hear that it works out really well for you, KJ. And I know something that I quite like about Pablo is I just don't want to download things and add them to my desktop. So with Pablo, I can create the image and just share it immediately to Buffer. I don't have to have all these things hanging around on my desktop.
Yeah, that's true. I like to save it though, then I can schedule it in or use it for, you know, whatever.
Are you able to save those afterwards? Can you reuse them?
Yeah, for sure. So you can save them. So you can save them to your desktop, but you don't save them within Pablo.
Okay. Oh, that's so great. What a great facility.
You know, as a little tip for you all, if you're developing that, it would be so nice to have a library of ones that we've used so I don't have to save it to my laptop. Because once you create it, if you share it, yeah, sure, it's out there in the share sphere. But what you don't have is a way to reshare it unless it's through your Buffer app again. To have a way that, like you were talking about with the Buffer advanced tactics, to have a library. Here's the ones I've shared. You just grab it again. It's there for you. Or you can alter, you know, bring it up and edit it again.
Absolutely. You know, it's really funny, KJ. We've talked about transparency. Pablo Library is absolutely on our product roadmap. If you go to buffer.com/transparency and click on Buffer product roadmap, you can see, I'm just checking right now, Pablo Library is on next up. So it's not being coded right now, but it's next in line to get coded.
Good, you read my mind. Yay.
Yay, that sounds wonderful. Because, of course, you've got a book cover or a quote. We pretty much send it, as you say, Twitter is so sort of short. We send the same thing out over and over again. And I still get stuff retweeted that it's been going out for a long time. You know, it's amazing. So I want to do just a quick overview before I get to the next question. Of you said earlier on, and I just wanted to be clear for people that are listening, when it comes to content, you look at different content for different social media platforms. So just give us a very short, you don't have to go into big detail, of what to consider on each platform. Like for Twitter, you can same content, you know, 10 times a day, whatever you want to do. And so Facebook and Instagram, just give us an overview of those, of what you would recommend.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, Instagram, it's really great to be very visual. And I think the idea behind Instagram is this is happening right now or recently. I know that Instagram has kind of turned into maybe more of a network where you have really beautiful photos as well. But I think it still does hold that presence of this is something that's happening immediately. So when you share to Instagram, if you just hit the button and share to Facebook and Twitter as well, I think that that's totally fine. So anything that is video does super well on Facebook. So we've seen that a lot. And Facebook Live is just taking off. People are doing some really cool things with Facebook Live. So being able to live stream right from your Facebook page. So that's the kind of, I would experiment with a little bit more, maybe video marketing content on Facebook, keeping up awesome visuals on Instagram, instant visuals. And then Twitter, I've always thought, has been a really wonderful way to connect with people one-on-one if you're using Twitter. sending out questions to your audience or asking opinions on things, sending quick updates is a really good way to connect with people on Twitter. So it doesn't always have to be promoting. It can be, you know, we talked about the ratio a little bit. So of the four, educational or entertaining, you know, some of them could be audience questions, just even so far as like, what are you reading right now? Or are, what are some of the writing struggles? Or what would you like to see me write about on my blog?
Cool. I have to make a comment on the Facebook video. There's some people have taken a little too far when they're like in their car and they're like, they got nothing going on. I saw like a lady the other day is just like, where's the dog? And I'm like, come on. Nobody needs to
see. Everyone wants to be the next Chewbacca lady.
Yeah, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she did really well. She did, didn't she?
I know, but like, let's have something. That if you're going to go on video, please, people, just make it interesting. Don't just like.
Be ready.
I don't know.
People, that's great advice.
That's great advice anytime, KJ. People, be interesting.
Be interesting. Cut this boring crap. There's enough out there. Make it original.
Okay. What great information.
Yes. This has been a great interview, Haley. It's been a lot of fun having you on our program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I had a ton of fun. It's been valuable for everyone else.
No, I think you did a great job of really demystifying Buffer for us and also just showing us all these great tools that you've got. I mean, it's like I want to go sign up right now. I'm hoping our audience does too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Well, let me know what you think once you do. I'm really excited to hear your reaction.
Please join us next week where we have a best of episode with Dorinda Jones. She's a New York Times bestselling author of the Charlie Davidson series. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.